Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the 15th anniversary. You dropped 60 points on the Lakers.
Pow!
I was on Ballers Life going through watching. Kobe got a lot in the buckets. Uh-huh. You know, it was interesting to see. I just want to know, before we get into the unwritten rules portion of it, what do you remember from that game, dropping that 60 piece, and how much shit were y'all talking to each other? It came to a point where it was like, I'm gonna stop talking, just let Gil cook.
No, it's funny. It's like, you gotta blame Luke Walton. Because Luke Walton always came up to me every time we played, Kobe said, he told me to tell you that, he's going to shut you down today. He's guarding you personally. Like, well, then you tell him that I'm going to scratch whatever playbook that we're going to do, and I'm just going to go one for flat and make this an ISO show. And that's basically how our shit talk is. Like, we never talk shit to each other. It was like via Luke Walton. It's like one of those, hit my hand. It was one of those.
Luke Walton out here back channeling between both the diplomatic negotiations. So when you and Kobe fade, like at what point do you guys actually start talking to each other? During the game or what's going on?
We never, like the only thing he said that game is like, why, you're not gonna guard me, huh? You're not gonna guard me, you're just gonna be one-sided. I was just, you're just gonna be a one-sided player. Huh? Challenge yourself. You know, come on in and guard me something. Like, you know, I'm not gonna guard you. You're just gonna post up the whole time. Are you gonna post up? I can't guard you in the post. We're gonna have to double. Then you get, now the sorry players get to score more points. So now I'm not gonna do that. Deshaun got you.
So I want to ask, what are the unwritten rules of being in a zone like that? From yourself, from your teammates? Like, if you know a guy's on the verge of hitting a 40 piece, a 50 piece, or a 60 piece like yourself, are you more inclined to give him the rock? Are you dealing with any haters on your squad? Or like, I don't want Gil to get 60 because I want that 60.
Okay, so the unwritten rule. See, I'd never been in a situation where another player was outshining me in the game for me to even give that shit up. Okay, so we're gonna start with that. Unwritten rule for me as the star, the unwritten rule is, if I'm on a heater, you're not getting that shit. All right, I don't give a shit what coach called. You're not getting the ball. I'm gonna shoot it. I'm gonna try some heat checks, and if I cool off, I'm gonna keep shooting till I can catch back on fire. You know, that's just how that works. It's like when you see people like Steph, you know, going for 50 and breaking these records, it's an unwritten rule for a player. Now, as a team, let's say, Golden State this year with Steph in the record, right? There's an unwritten rule that, but it's obvious that Steph is gonna go for this record. He's not going for it. It's gonna happen. It's not even the middle of the season. So this is gonna happen. He's gonna break this record at some point. Now it all depends on when he wants to break it. What team does he want to break it on? So the unwritten rule is we're gonna help him break this record. If we got to set screens all the time, if we got, like, we're gonna do all the things that we need to do to actually help him break it while still, you know, playing our normal game.
Gotta talk about you and Kobe. You know, y'all had some truly epic battles going at each other. What do you remember most from those times? And what's your favorite memory of going up against Kobe?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, our best battles wasn't even in the finals. It was at UCLA.
In
pickup games. Man, we had some people don't even know about this, because, you know, we used to play in the summertime at UCLA. And it used to get kind of like fiery between me and him. Because, you know, we Celtics, we still Celtics and Lakers, but we had some good battles then. But, you know, he's about as competitive as it get. And I always tell the story how competitive Kobe is. When we shot that commercial, The Air Force.
Oh, the second coming?
The second coming.
Yeah.
We shooting that commercial, so I'm one-on-one with Kobe, right? And, you know, this is a commercial. We acting, mm-hmm. you know? They, like, make a move. You know, he gonna make a move. So I'm making a move. He ripped me. I'm like, I look at him like, hey. Yeah, so I make a move again, you know, kind of like lax a day. He knocked the ball out again. I'm like, dude, this is a commercial. We trying to make it look good. And so now we're in a full-blown one-on-one. Like sweating. Like, but that's just cold.
I think about Kobe and like the West Finals of 09, okay. The same, you know, the same little joint.
Kobe on the Western Conference Finals. People have made a block of like four plays to be an all-out assault on Kobe. Number one, with George Karl, that's my guy, but my job, he had hit that on people. It was like wanted posters. Okay, you get, if I get a flagrant one, we paying it. If you don't get a flagrant one, you ain't doing your job. Like, you getting cussed out for, like, layups. Like, we were bruisers, so,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
You ain't coming in our paint. First and foremost, you come in the paint, you got to sit down. And they allowed it at that point in time. So, like, we had first round was Chris Paul. Chris Paul, me and Kenyon just jumped in, physical. CP ain't talking for, like, 2 years. Because it was just so physical, but that was our job. Like, we gotta get the ball at your hands. We knew that once you trying to jump out of 6'6 and 6'9, put some wood on you. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to make you quit. Dirk, the next round, had to quit. Then you get the Kobe. And Kobe with everything. But, as I said before, I got a lot of respect for him, so I'm coming in respectfully. But he don't really care about you. So, while he doesn't want to be touched, he likes to do a lot of touching.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to elbow you in your face, and he likes to push you to get open, and like, which is all part of the game I'm not mad at, but then he complained to the refs, you can't touch him. One play, when I tripped him, I remember denying him to get the ball open. He couldn't, his teammate didn't give it to him, so he was mad at him. So he swung it, and, no, I apologize, it was side out of bounds. I'm denying him. He elbowed me in my Adam's apple. So when that closes up on you, like, you can't breathe, now I'm mad. And I'm a person that believes in get back. So he swung the ball, and he tried, and the shot went up, and he tried to get by me. And as not being able to breathe, I was like, nah, get back here. I'm done with this. Like, I want that foul. They didn't call it. I was like, oh, I got away with it. Cool. He's livid, never said a word to me. That's one block. But we've been fighting for games here now, like four games prior. Now we in the Western Conference Finals, everything's on the line. You didn't elbow me in my throat. I don't know if y'all been elbowed in y'all throat before, but it kind of really hurts. So I clipped him. You're right. Then we had, then.
I
guarded thousands of possessions. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like that's, I only had one possession on him and I tripped him. Mm-hmm. He elbowed me in my throat, I had to get back. I couldn't get my hands on him. I got it. I feel like I got it. If they called a foul, yeah, I did that. I did it. I did it on purpose.
See, he's strong enough to what? He's strong enough to eye clip somewhere and
I just couldn't get my hands on him.
Never again.
I blacked out. I blacked out for half a second. I couldn't get my hands on him. I wanted my get back. Got it back. Cool. Then there's another one. I pushed him in the back. Right? And our rule was, like, no dunks and no layups. So I thought I was doing the right thing. I swear I thought I was doing the right thing. Because he beat me for the first kind of time, like where I see the back of his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I got two options. Take his head off because he can't see me. Like, when he gets in the air, like, I swipe and just take him out.
Mm-hmm.
Or push him before he even jumps. So you see me, I just push him, and he never gets in the air, and he feels like he's disrespected. But I can't give up layups because I lose money. I get fully disrespected in timeouts. Like, they had me so wound up. Chauncey, Kenyon, George had me so wound up and so frustrated. They were on my ass at all points in time. So they, If he'd have got a dunk, I'm getting cussed out by Big Shot. Big Shot fully cussing me out. Why you ain't fouling? Why you ain't do this? But I take all the embarrassment when I do something wild. So I'm taking it from my teammates and me and him in a full scrap. So I pushed him in the back so that he didn't get hurt. Like, he didn't get in the air and I didn't take him out the air. Because that was my responsibility at that point in time. And then the other one is where he gets hurt on the last second shot. But I had guarded him for 32 minutes of a game. And if you're gonna hurt somebody, you gonna hurt him in the beginning again? I'm gonna do it first play.
You can do the minute one.
Yeah. I'm gonna get him out. I'm not gonna play with you. You embarrass me for 32 minutes. If I'm gonna really hurt you, I got it on my mind. I'm not gonna wait till the end to hurt you.
You know what I think I'm gonna do?
Did I ever hurt you though?
No, I need to go back and watch the film to see how dirty he was. Because there's no reason I had three regularly. I naturally three.
And then, but how this came about,
he must have
in the weight room before, and we was like, and I was like, yeah, I lock all that up. Gil ain't gonna never talk to me crazy. He was like, no, let me see when I played you. And he went, he said, oh. Oh, you did? I was like, yeah, I told you I locked that shit up.
I never really,
mind you, I'm playing hard, I'm aggressive. Like, all that comes from a good place. Kobe was like, I live and die by Kobe.
I'm gonna sit here and tell you flat out, I had no desire to be a coach. That was not part of my plan, mm-hmm. to be a coach in the NBA, so to speak. I just knew I wanted to try to impact the game of basketball on a global scale in terms of helping athletes become elite with their skill. That was my motivation. Mm-hmm. And then after doing this for 10 plus years, you know, my reputation and my name just kind of grew in the industry. And, you know, I'm from Oakland. Golden mm-hmm. State Warriors had potentially offered me a job. Mike Brown had offered me an opportunity when he was in Cleveland the first time. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really interested. You know, I had a very prosperous business. I was running, work when I want, work when I don't want mm-hmm. to want. And so it kind of really become a thing that I was just very comfortable in that space. And in 2011, Mike Brown got hired by the Lakers. My motivation in the industry was, you know, I wanted to be able to train with some of the best players mm-hmm. ever. And so when Mike got that job and the opportunity became for me to work with the Lakers, the only thing that really sold me on it was to have the opportunity to stand next to Kobe. Mm. That was it. I wasn't interested in being a coach. I wasn't interested in necessarily coaching in the NBA. I wanted the opportunity to see if my skill set mm-hmm. as a trainer was good enough to impact a guy like Kobe. That was my motivation, and that was the only reason why I took the job. Wow. And that was 12 years ago.
Had you worked with Kobe at all before that?
Never met that dude.
So what was it like meeting Kobe for the first time as a Lakers player development coach? And just kind of how did y'all break through, and when did y'all actually start putting in work together?
You know, man, that year, 2011, it was a lockout. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a shortened season. So when they hired me, the lockout ended. Mike Brown called me the day the lockout ended to say, I need you in L.A. tomorrow. So I had to shut my business down. I left, moved to L.A., and we started training camp. And I remember, you know, I would come in early every morning. And this was my first opportunity to work in a team environment. And I didn't really know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. In that sense, Mike just said, figure it out. So I would get there early. Mm-hmm. Whoever was on the court, I would work with them. I would stay after practice. Whoever wanted to work, I would work with them. And I remember I would get in and get on the court early. And Cole would, by then, he'd have his work done. You know, he'd come in early. Mm-hmm. He's in at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. He'd have his work done, be in the weight room, sitting in the back, go to sleep. The first few days, he would come out of the training room, and he'd stick his head out, and he would just watch what I was doing. He'd sit there for like 2 or 3 minutes, mm-hmm. and then he'd go back in the training room. He did that for about 4 or 5 days. And then like a week later, he finally texted me and said, hey, meet me at the gym. You know, I've told this story countless times. Meet me at the gym at 5. You know, I think it was like 5:45 or something like that. So I was like, okay, bet. I went to the gym that night. Mm-hmm. Showed up, got there at like 4:30, thinking, you know, it was that night. I waited for that dude. 5:30 rolled around, didn't show up. 6 o'clock rolled around, he didn't show up. So I was like, okay, 6:30, I'm going home. I came in the next morning, my normal time, showed up work around 7 a.m. Man, that dude came out of the training room like, yo, mofo, you know, cussing at me, F-bombs. Where was you at? And I was like, bro, I was here. Yeah, you told me 5:45. You know, he was like, man, I meant 5:45 this morning. I showed up the night before. And so I was just like, okay. It kind of just took me back. And then he was like, look, be here tomorrow. And that's how our relationship started. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he really just looked at, what's my body of work? Do I understand the game? You know, how am I working with guys? How am I communicating with guys? What's my work ethic? Mm-hmm. That was for him. That's how it started. Yeah, again, I didn't know Cope. I had to figure out a way to build a relationship with him, and it was purely through the work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He respected my work ethic in terms of just watching me work with other guys on the team before and after practice. He saw that I was, you know, committed to just being on the floor with guys mm-hmm. and doing whatever I can to help guys get better. And that's how our relationship started. And, you know, the very first workout I ever had with him was, my question to him was, well, look, how can I help you? You know, this is, here he is, a polarizing basketball player. What can I do to help you continue advancing yourself in this game?
Mm-hmm.
And he told it. He said, look, I want to get better with my ball hand. I want to get better, continue getting better with my footwork. I want to work on all these areas. He was always just trying to expand. And so he would come in and say, hey, look, today, this is what I want to do. I want to do some ball hand. I would do it. And so I would just fall right in line with it and try to help him in many different areas as I could. But the biggest thing for me was, man, I learned far more from him than I think than I taught him
mm-hmm.
or anything showed him. I learned so much more from him in terms of just mentality, work ethic, you know, how he worked.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was an awesome experience for me because it was educational.
Who was the guy when you know every night you were going up against him, it was going to be a tough night and you were going to have to give, you know, your best effort?
Two guys. Of course, God rest his soul, Kobe. I saw a clip, like somebody posted a clip when we played him in the Western Conference Finals. Like, he drove, I bop, stop, boom, bop, boom, 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 he, boom. I'm all over it. He fade, I'm contest, mm-hmm. point. He, whoosh, bock it. Next clip. They run something, I switch out there, he boom, 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 he, I'm, dun, boom, he, swap, boom. So, like, it was like one of them, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But it was always, it's a chess match with me and him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he knew, like, and that's why, like, I, like, over the years, like, I'm like, this is good, like, yeah. really good. You know what I'm saying? Because most guys, like, I can stop your A, your B, like, he gonna go to C, D, you know what I'm saying? Like, one time they come, they used to run a little pitch back play. He run a pistol, he threw it back to him. We used to switch it, of course, with me. We switch, he come off, I body him, boom, boom. He come off, he getting ready to shoot it. I'm all on top of it. He shoot that thing off the glass with his left hand. I was like, hey, man, don't do that no more, man. Like, while we running back down, hey, man, don't do that again, dog. He laughed, he like, yeah. I'm like, it's just one of them situations, man, where it was like very competitive, but it was fun at the same time, and it was a mutual respect for one another at his offensive ability and my ability to guard people.
Kobe's Drew League game.
Mm-hmm.
You played in that game. What do you remember from that day, just that summer, just how crazy it was, how turned it was? I mean, for me, you know, I got a call from my dad. He was like, yo, come through. The Drew Kobe's about to come. I'm a big LeBron guy, so I'm like, if I'm like, I literally told him, like, I don't look back on that shit, I want to slap myself.
Yeah.
But I ended up bringing the camera up there, filmed a bunch of stuff, got the game winner, even had Kobe on the sideline. You did like a 360 in the game. Yeah. He was on the bench talking to Chris Young and Ghetto Bird, literally just singing your praises, like, yeah. like DeMar shit. He go to the penthouse, literally. Yeah. Like, what do you remember from that day playing in the Drew?
I think it was like a last minute call getting guys together, because it was like a random day. Say Cole wanted to hoop, so all the guys that was in LA, for some reason, like, I think we all just got a call saying we gonna play today. Cole gonna come play. So we was like, all right, I don't know how this is gonna work. We at the little gym at the park or whatever. Yeah. So they was like, get there earlier. So we all there. So Cole come, and everybody going crazy. I'm talking, it was thousands of people even waiting outside that couldn't get in. And I just remember us going out there playing and him walking on the floor saying, he said something crazy. He always be talking shit crazy. And he said something, but he was like, man, y'all better come play. So everybody came, like, we put out there, hoop, James, me, like, we were just going at it. And I remember a lot of us saying we was gonna take turns guarding him. And you could just tell he was, I don't know if he stretched in the car
uh-huh.
on the way there, because he just walked on the court. He didn't do nothing, like, got straight to it.
Uh-huh.
So we hooping, and I remember it was a close game. I remember, I think they got footage of it. They was trying to make him leave early.
Yeah, I got
the
that.
Game. Yeah.
Cops go up to him, yeah. like, because y'all were up like eight with like a minute and a half or something. It was something with like, yo, this shit's over.
Yeah, we was up, and they was trying to get Kobe to leave, and he was like, nah, I'm finishing the game.
Mm-hmm.
and he ends up in the game winner, right? And he just stood in the middle of the floor, and it was just like, you can't make this up, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like we was trying to give him the game or we were just trying to make it. Like, he really, it was like a real-life game. Like, it felt like you was playing in Staples Center, you know what I mean? But it was one of those moments when you look around and you see, like we smack dab in the hood.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, we in the hood. Like, everybody in here is from the hood, you know what I mean? So for him to hit the game winner, stand in the middle of the court, like, everybody run up to him, it was like one of the craziest moments in the Drew League.
He is the one that really lit a fire under the Twins and started them understanding, like, because I remember I took them to work out with them for their 10th birthday. And Kobe, what are they into? I was like, these motherfuckers play video games all day. He's like, all right. So when they get there, you know, where are you guys going to school? Simultaneously, we're going to UCLA. And Kobe's like, no, you're not. And these boys are like, we're not? He's like, well, not if you guys don't work at your game. Like your dad says, you guys are good on, you know, you guys play video games. So you guys might be some computer nerds or this and that, but you're not going to play basketball. And they're still kind of confused. Like, we're not? Like, no, you got to work at this shit. And he busted their ass in this workout. And after they were done, they were just like, okay, I like this. And then 3.5 months later, Kobe passes. And it's just like, shit, we're gonna do it for Kobe now. So when I tell you, like, that's when they're like, well, Dad, well, okay, we want to train your dad and we want to start working out more. And since that point, to like to see how much they've gotten better, because again, they always had the IQ, but now you add the skill to it, it's just like, oh, this is fun, and it's gonna continue to get fun now, because again, they love it and they want it, not because I want it.
So you talk about Kobe, obviously you got the whole flinching incident and all that good stuff, but that literally motivates him to bring you on the squad.
Right.
Let's talk about going from obviously with the Magic to now on the Lakers and developing that bond and relationship to the point now where you can bring your 10-year-olds for their birthday out to Orange County
That's
to get
big,
that workout.
You know, because I mean, my Kobe relationship started at UCLA. You know, he was young when he came to LA and he was always on our campus. I'm like, isn't that Kobe? And he'd be walking around our campus working out and stuff. So getting a chance to see him and watch him work out and playing against him in the summer, I was just a fan and kind of had that admiration, knowing just like, yo, this dude is next. You know, I was in 1998, he's, you know, I'm seeing him work out. I'm just like, yo, this dude is next Jordan type shit. So fast forward, I was a fan, getting a chance to play with him. It was just, again, someone that I knew, okay, I get a chance to play against defense against Kobe. This is great. So there's always real competitive nature with us. And then in the Orlando situation, I mean, anyone that plays Kobe, you know, he's dirty as grabs you, elbows you, says shit, does whatever, but they'll never call a foul on him. Like, known for elbowing you in the sternum, known for just doing all kinds of crazy shit, but it was part of that mental, you know, warfare that he liked to put on you. So I was just to the point now, this motherfucker didn't elbow me in my sternum, elbow me, hit me in my nuts, elbow me in my chin. Like, I'm gonna fight this dude because these punk-ass refs aren't calling nothing. So when the ball fake shit happened, it wasn't like, I'm gonna fake the ball in his face. Literally, my arms just did it by themselves. Like, I wanted to slam that shit in his face. So I faked it. And then, you know, it kind of became what it did. But fast forward, so my situation in Orlando doesn't work out. So I get a call from Pat Riley, like, hey, you know, we got this, we're putting this team together. And I'm like, okay, what kind of team? Because, I mean, I'm in Orlando, Miami's right at the freeway. You know, we're in talks to Chris Bosh and LeBron might be coming. And I was like, really? What? Really? It's like, you know, this is what it could be. And, you know, our crunch timeline, it could be you, LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh, and Mike Miller. And, you know, we're going to win some rings. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to go to Miami. And it's Miami, too. I'm going to go to Miami. And then I get this call from a number I don't know. And I'll never answer my phone, but I just happen to answer it. And it's Cole. I'm just like, yeah, right. Who's this? He's like, nah, it's Cole, for real. I'm just like, what? I'm like, what's up? So we kind of start talking. And he told me, he's like, anyone crazy enough to f*** with me is crazy enough to play with me. Do you want to be a Laker? And I mean, I grew up in Cali. I'm a Showtime Magic Johnson dude. I'm like, hell yeah. So like 4 days later, I was a Laker. So we went from kind of just competitors to teammates. And then during that very first season, we were both going through stuff in our personal life. So we really, really bonded. Like, we were kicking it. I got this motherfucker to go out in Milwaukee of all cities. Like, we were always out and about doing shit and really kicked it and talked about our kids and talked about life and business and family and all this kind of shit. So we really went from competitors to teammates to brothers, to the point where he's always sending the Twins their new shoe. He's, you know, Gigi would, we'd all be playing at the all the shit out in Orange County, and Kobe would hit me up the night before, like, yo, I saw you guys in the tournament. What time you play? We play at 9, they play at 11. I'll be there. You know, Kobe would come 2 hours early to watch the Twins play. So it was just like that kind of relationship that I built with them off basketball is obviously something I'll never forget and very grateful, because you hear so many different things about Kobe. But if he lets you in, he's nothing like you hear he is. He's just incredible, crazy, shit-talking motherfucker. You know, he's a cool-ass dude, but he's the Mamba with that mentality to everyone else. But if he lets you in to see the person, the man, the father, he's an incredible dude.